June 30, 1989, full Ways and Means Committee convening at approximately 12 o'clock.
The full Ways and Means agenda will come to order this afternoon. We have some budget bills that are reported out of the committee. I have the first one. If you have a little bit of a question about this, this is a bill that was in Ways and Means that we've amended to relieve a problem that came up of technicality with the governor's office relating to Senate Bill 11. Senate Bill 11 had many other features, but one of the features was the Board of Medical Examiners per diem for the members of the board was increased in that to $200 per day, the only board that got that level. It's the understanding that executive branch of government wants to do a complete survey and set for the next legislative session adequate per diem for all boards. It was felt as though that if we would pass this bill, which would further amend Senate Bill 11, which is headed to the governor's desk, that this would give that a chance to see what all of them are instead of setting it as out extraordinary. I would ask members of this committee to approve House Bill 5067, which repeals only that section, and the Senate Bill 11, which has passed both bodies overwhelmingly. Is there any discussion on that? Any opposition? That's what we'll do. Senator Thorne?
Are we on agenda?
Yes, number two.
We'll continue then with the Senate bills that are out of committees. We'll go with Senate Bill 5570. Representative Burton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5570 appropriates $62.6 million of general funds within the appropriation limit for capital construction, acquisition, and improvements and related special capital needs. The bill further establishes other fund expenditure limitation of $117.5 million and a federal funds limitation of $22.8 million. This bill reflects the single largest construction program in the state since the early 1890s. I think you've all heard this before, generally. Let me go down and talk about this. Still a $23.1 million anticipated cost in there to bring down the COP costs that will result from the construction, which would revert if the general fund resources drop by $95 million or more from the close of the session estimates. And the bill has the projects that were contained in Senate Bill in House in Senate Bill 5559 for Department of Human Resources and a Department of Corrections budget that was included is also included in that. A capital construction fund of $1 was created for community colleges with the direction to return in July 1990 to the E board to identify construction needs. I would recommend that Senate Bill 5570 be passed to the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Are there questions of Representative Burton? Representative
Jones. Mr. Chairman, just a statement that I'll look this over between now and the time it gets before.
It is under the limit if that's part of the condition. Further questions or discussion? If not, is there objection to Representative Burton's motion that Senate Bill 5570 be reported to the Senate floor of the due pass recommendation? Hearing none. Next are other bills out of subcommittee. Let's start with Senate Bill 473. Senator Larry Hill, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 473 relates to dogs. That is the Multnomah Kennel Club. The bill reduces the state share of off-track wagering currently allowed to be conducted by the Multnomah Kennel Club from the current rate of 6.3% to a rate of 2.43%. Proponents of the bill told the committee that the growth in off-track betting is expected to be substantial, and the general fund loss that would occur otherwise will be overcome by future revenues due to expansion. The committee adopted the new rate and added a sunset clause of October 1, 1991 to assure that further legislative review takes place. The committee also added sufficient revenues to ensure that the county fair account will continue to receive its current level of revenue.
Are there questions of Senator Hill? Is there objection to his motion that Senate Bill 473 be reported to the Senate floor and due pass recommendation as amended? Hearing no order. Next, Senate Bill 536, Senator Crowell, please. Seems like I'm familiar with that number.
Right, yes. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. You are.
Heard it before.
Senate Bill 536 is a bill that has the Senior Services Division continue in place a program to conduct admission screening of Medicaid-eligible persons prior to placement in a nursing facility. The program they already have in place is one mandated by the federal government to look at the mental health needs of senior citizens, and that program is in place now. Senate Bill 536B, engrossed, is passed by the Senate, has the Senior Service Division establish procedures and adopt rules for admission screening to provide for an assessment of the long-term care needs of persons who are not or do not appear to be Medicaid eligible, applying for admission to an intermediate care facility, or who have remained in a skilled nursing facility for more than 30 days. The program is to include all services necessary to comply with the minimum federal criteria for pre-admission screening established by the Healthcare Financing Administration, HCFA, rules. The applicant will be provided with options and recommendations of the assessment team, but are not binding on the individual. The Senior Services Division believes that the administrative costs of the program can be funded from savings in the long-term care appropriation and other federal funds. Program costs for the 1989-91 biennium are estimated at $1.1 million total funds. Section 12 states that implementation of the screening program is subject to approval by HCFA for federal fund participation in the cost. Finally, Sections 13 and 14 provides for the necessary transfer of general fund from the long-term care appropriation to administration and the necessary other and federal fund adjustments. I urge your support, and I would like to add that this piece of legislation has been much amended to in an effort to satisfy some of the critics of it. And in the process of doing that, we've taken away the absolutely mandatory feature of the bill and made the additional assessment that's not the federally mandated assessment, but the admission screening assessment, optional. And the individual at the point of time when the other assessment has been completed would be asked if that person wanted to continue with the pre-admission assessment, and the person could say yes or no and sign a statement if he chose not to do so. And that was one of the issues, was whether or not it should be absolutely mandatory, and it has been changed to be an optional assessment. The other issue was the fees involved, and people believe that there would be fees charged. And what we've done is to say that the Senior Services Division would charge no additional fees for this assessment. And although it might be the case that the assessment would be given by some other agency, perhaps a hospital or some other agency, and they might say they would charge a fee, but if the individual did not wish to pay that fee, he could say he did not wish to be assessed by that mechanism and ask Senior Services to do it, and that would be done for nothing. So there are virtually no fees involved in this at all, and it's an optional assessment. We believe it will be a very, very good mechanism for the Senior Services Division. They very much want this mechanism because they believe that they can provide an informed choice for seniors, and the result of that informed choice will be probably the right kind of placement along the continuum of care, so that they're not overly confined, so that they keep their independence, and so that they keep their financial independence as well. They don't spend down as fast if they don't go into the more expensive care. So our belief is that this is good for the seniors, and it's also cost-effective for the state.
Are there questions, Senator Kroll?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
Now, if seniors are not required to take pre-admission screening, why do you need funding? Because I would imagine they pay their own pre-admission screening, and the public assistance client are required to take the examination anyway. So why do you need funding?
Well, basically the funding that's here is a transfer of of funds. The funding that will be is available for all of the federally mandated screening is federal money. And there is a match for the screening. And the belief is, though, that the state might contribute maybe 25% of some of the funds, although probably you don't need all of them. And that would be cost effective because in the long run, you would save money because of the spend down effect. People wouldn't go on Medicaid as quickly as they do now because they wouldn't spend down as fast. So it would be cost effective.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, so the funding is to take care of the federally mandated part?
No. The federally mandated part is really paid by the federal government almost completely. Am I right, Art? Right. The federally mandated part, and there should be enough money because the federal monies should also flow into this additional screening because it's the kind of screening they like. So that there should be a federal match for this as well. So there shouldn't be much general fund going into this program at all, and the little amount that does go into it will be very cost effective.
Questions further?
There is no general fund listed here. It's just other funds. And the other funds is the... Where does the other funds?
The other funds is just the possibility of Art for what? Fee revenues? Art did this.
Mr. Wilkerson? The senior services division which used and where it was a hospital for the screening that would meet the requirements for picking up the federal grant for the contractors of the hospital went to the hospital. So that's the only one that's done. It is completely general fund neutral through savings and long-term care via transfer to administration. You need funds in the budget because they will be hiring at the state level for these assessment teams another 7 employees, and your triple A's, they'll be hiring about the same number, 7 to 8 employees. So the dollars that are here is to have additional people available to do the screening. Without additional general fund cost.
Mr. Chairman, my question is, what is the source of other funds?
I think the answer is that the other funds are funds that either could be individuals or through the agency.
Well, it's through agencies. Is that general fund?
I think the analysts have responded that the agency, the other funds are not direct general funds, but funds that the agency receives in order to process the screening.
But it starts with general funds.
No, there's no general fund here.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
If you would want to turn to the second page of the budget report for Senate Bill 536, the budget report, the second page, the low position summary, other funds are from fees charged by hospitals.
Oh, that's other funds.
Right. And the fees that would be charged, they may not be charged by the hospitals because the hospitals get enough federal funds. The federal funds flow to the hospitals to pay for the initial screening that the federal government mandates. It might be that the hospitals would say that it's necessary to charge more, and so then they would charge the individual a small fee, and so the other funds would be those fees that could be charged. But remember that the bill says that if the individual does not wish to pay the fee, the individual can opt to have senior services do the screening, and senior services would charge no fee.
Further questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, let's go with Representative
Lee. I will go ahead and vote for this to get it out of committee, but I will possibly reject it on the floor. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Further comments or discussion? Representative Soa?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need to again state, as I did in the subcommittee, that there's a small group of people that seniors that are opposing this, and so this bill is not without controversy.
Mr. Chair.
Are you completely? Yeah. Further discussion?
In closing, I guess, it would say that virtually every senior organization that's organized and working here is in support of this legislation. It's very high priority with the senior organizations. And the Senior Services Division has very much believed that it would be a very useful tool for them to place people along the continuum of care that would be cost-effective and also would be better for the individual senior. Because if you get placed in care beyond what you need to the point where you're simply institutionalized, that's not good. The whole new theory about care is that you should be kept as independent as possible and assisted living, but not overly protected. And so this bill, I think, would be very useful.
Okay. Question before us is the motion to send Senate Bill 536 to the Senate floor. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is Senate Bill 724, Senator Larry Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 724 establishes a 16-member task force on head injuries. Membership will include four legislators, six representatives of agencies that provide services to individuals with head injuries, and six members of the disabled population. The task force is to report to the 1991 Legislative Assembly with its recommendations regarding services and funding needs for persons with head injuries. In addition, the task force is to submit proposals to the Task Force on Criminal Fines and Assessments regarding the possible use of those revenues for services for the head injury. The committee discussed the fiscal impact of using revenues from court assessments to support the task force and additional program services. The committee concluded that additional funding for services was needed but had concerns regarding the use of an additional assessment due to the potential negative impact on state, county, and city general funds. The task force is authorized to seek public or private grants, and a $1 expenditure limitation is provided for that purpose. If grants are not available, the task force is expected to report on the results of attempts to secure funds and request an allocation from the emergency board if necessary. We urge a passage with the amendments of the subcommittee.
Thank you. Are there questions of Senator Hill? Is there objection to the motion?
There's one objection.
I'm sorry. Yes. Maybe I should ask, is there further discussion? Then, if not, the motion is to send Senate Bill 734 to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation. Objections, Representative Hanneman. Hearing no others, the motion carries. Next on the agenda, Senate Bill 1189. Senator Hamby, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1189 is the result of a case regarding minority and women-owned businesses, Richmond versus Croson. And now the bill, with your support, will require the Oregon Transportation Commission to appoint a committee to recommend plans for the Department of Transportation to assist emerging small businesses to overcome barriers to participation in public improvement projects and report recommendations to the Commission and the Legislative Committee on Trade and Economic Development. The bill requires that the department implement a plan within 8 months after recommendation. The bill establishes an emerging small business account. The bill requires that the Department of Transportation deposit an amount equal to not more than 1% of the total cost of each highway construction contract in the account. The amount to be deposited in 8991 is estimated to be $2.2 million. Assuming that no portion of the account is used for direct emerging business contract, the entire amount of the account, including interest earnings, will represent a reduction in budgeted highway improvement contracts. The Department of Transportation is committed to implementing the bill within existing resources. It is a two-year pilot project beginning 89. For the record, Mr. Co-Chair, I'd like to read a note from Robert Bothman from the Department of Transportation that states, several of the initiatives incorporated into the bill have been looked at for implementation during the next biennium. The legislative mandate expressed in the bill will help to expedite these initiatives. I urge your support.
Thank you. Other questions for Senator Hamby? Discussion? Objection to the motion that Senate Bill 1189 be reported to the House with a due pass recommendation. Next is House Bill 2132. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The engrossed House Bill 2132 requires the State Board of Education to define basic education by rule and then provides a list of eight fields of study that have to be included in that definition. The board is also directed to recommend to the legislature those support services that should be required and develop statewide accounting procedures to identify the costs of basic education and required support services. This information, including the amount of money needed to provide basic education support services for each school district in the state, shall be reported to the legislature by July 1, 1990. We had some discussion that the department will have sufficient financing within its already approved budget to take care of this. Approximately $162,000 is necessary. But there's a little caveat, if not, they will report to the emergency board. And you might remember that this particular idea was one of the original ideas coming out of the governor's task force on school finance reform. And I would urge your aye vote.
Are there questions?
Mr. Chair, yes. just a very brief comment. I'm very appreciative of the subcommittee delivering this bill to us. I know it was a difficult bill to deliver, but I think it is an important part of the overall effort that we're undergoing, and I appreciate it being here.
Fine product of a very deliberative committee chaired by Senator Roberts.
That's right.
Bore it on.
Further discussion? Objection to Representative Peterson's motion that House Bill 2132 be reported to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Hearing is ordered. Next is House Bill 2614, Representative Peterson. I'm sorry, Hanneman. Pardon me.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 2614 transfers the responsibility for the court-appointed special advocate known as CASA from the Children's Services Division to the Juvenile Services Commission, now restructured as the Oregon Community Children and Youth Services Commission. The reason for the switch, according to the narrative dating back to 85, is that Children's Services represents both adults and children and is not the advocate for children only, as the Juvenile Services Commission, now called the other name, is. And that's the reason for the transfer. And the bill came from the House Judiciary Committee with a number of bipartisan legislators as sponsors. And the committee did delete Section 3, which carried a general fund appropriation of $250,000 for the CASA workers in Oregon, and suggested instead that they continue to get some funding from federal grants, private sources, and funds currently appropriated to the Commission for Community Grant Programs, which are appropriate for that use.
Thank you, Representative Hanneman. Questions or discussion? If not, is there objection to the motion that House Bill 2614 be reported to the House floor to do pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is House Bill 2616, Representative Hanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 2616 provides the Board of Police Standards and Training certification and training for correctional officers employed by the Department of Corrections. It's anticipated with our new prison construction program that Oregon will be needing a number of new corrections officers in the next few years. So beginning July 1, all new correctional officers will receive a 5-week BPST training program designed specifically for correctional officers. Those trained will be certified by the board. The officers employed prior to January 1 will receive an alternative Department of Corrections in-service training program designed to provide employee certification by January 1, 1993. Costs for this biennium will be financed by the Department of Corrections from the amounts budgeted. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Van Vliet, under
that's
discussion.
Be quite a pressure on the Police Standards and Practices Academy. Is that going to leave out a lot of local people who may be wanting to get certified?
I'm not sure, as I recall from subcommittee, whether the Department of Corrections would be reimbursing
I can
BPST or not.
I can help. Representative Burton.
Well, the
the way that, the training works is that the department pays for the training aspect of it. The local jurisdictions pay to send their people to it. The offset costs are included. This wouldn't really cost any, it wouldn't bump anything.
Wouldn't bump any people.
No, BPSD came in, fact, and said the way this is phased in, and what we're talking about here is not training so much for existing staff as the, all these new staff members are going to bring on for the new facilities as we're down the road, which is one reason for staging that in. So BPST will be able to handle that, as they said, without any problem.
I think there's a point of clarification. Corrections will pay for what training is necessary in this biennium. However, the passage of this bill will necessitate us dealing with another issue on how the fines and forfeitures are handled and the funding of BPST next session. So there is a carryover funding question, but we don't have to face that until that time when we have conceivably some better handle on an implemented schedule, or one that we'll need to implement.
Yeah, it's a good point, because there are several pieces of legislation pending, including a House bill that delays the implementation of the unitary assessment fines that is pending till 1991, and the assessments for BPST and the current fines and the distribution of those funds is an issue that we're going to have to deal with yet down the road.
Okay, further discussion. Is there objection then to sending House Bill 2616 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? None, so ordered. Let's now go to other items that are on our agenda, basically federal grant applications. Representative Burton, please.
Thanks, Co-Chair. There are three agencies requesting approval of submissions for federal grant applications. The Department of Corrections, which wants to apply to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for a grant of $938,000 for residential drug abuse treatment program at the Powder River Correctional Facility and counseling programs at other facilities. The Department of Human Resources Health Division, actually three grants, one for $185,000 from the Center for Disease Control for evaluation of the usefulness of data collected from hospitals in the division's Oregon Injury Registry. And then another one from the Disease Control Grant from the Centers for Disease Control for $260,000 to enhance the injury prevention program through educational efforts to reduce traumatic injuries, like being in the legislature. The U.S. Public Health Service grant for $35,000 to increase the number of participants in the division's behavioral risk monitoring program. And then another grant, the Department of Human Resources, the Voc Rehab Division, for a U.S. Department of Education National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research grant of up to $600,000 for improving awareness of technology available for handicapped individuals. The subcommittee recommends the approval of these grant applications. In the case of the Department of Corrections request, the subcommittee added instructions for the department to report to the E-Board prior to signing a provider contract for the treatment program at Powder River Correctional Facility, and further to develop internal financing for costs of a continuing the grant-funded program after the expiration of the grant. It's a feeling that the, and as the Public Safety Subcommittee was well aware, also Senator Turow, the interest in doing something for drug treatment programs in these facilities as they come online, the minimums is a critical issue, and we want to make certain that we're carefully monitoring what the department is doing as it goes forward with those programs. I would ask for your approval for these agencies to apply for these grants.
Thank you. As most of you know, this is a procedure that oftentimes would be a routine e-board activity. We are trying to deal with it now while we had a few minutes. Most of you understand what the process is. Are there questions of Representative Burton? Would there be objection to approving the grant applications in block? Hearing none, so ordered. On other business, committee schedules. Representative Peterson's committee is going to meet immediately to deal with an amendment to House Bill 3280. That's a mobile home bill that apparently now there is an agreement on the issue that had controversy surrounding it, and apparently it's been worked out. So that committee would want to go immediately to one of the hearing rooms.
First room.
Representative Burton, I believe there's a bill that you want to reconsider and look at further amendments, a bill that you dealt with this morning.
actually two bills that we need to come back and for reconsideration.
So you probably want to set up here?
That would be fine. Yes.
And then as to the next meeting, we will hold on any full. We've got two bills, three bills, and then one final bill. So we're looking about four. And I don't know if we'll need a full committee meeting yet tonight, so be on call, and your committee will be ready to handle the final bill, and we're ready for that. So that's kind of the agenda for your information, so you know what to expect and when it's going to happen and all that. Okay?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, indeed.
I want to register as a no vote on Senate Bill 536.
You've been so noted, whether you were in here or not, but you were. You discussed it at great length, and we note that. All right, let's recess until we call you back together and the other committees will meet as we specify.
About 10 minutes for human resources. It won't take us long.